Chapter 30.
They come again,
said Ledros.
This will be the final push.
His armor was heavily dented and breached in several places, the chain links beneath shorn. He was splattered with blood, most of it his enemies, but not all, and his chest was heaving. Callista knew she looked little better. She had suffered a raft of injuries, but the rush of battle and the threat of impending death were keeping the worst of her pain at bay. The knights had dismounted and were now trudging toward their line. It seemed Hecarim had finally tired of waiting and was throwing forward the entirety of his order, one overwhelming hammer blow to sunder their ranks. The host had fought well, but it was now only a matter of how long they could last. For centuries, the knightly orders had looked down upon the infantry, regarding fighting on horseback as the way a true noble waged war. It pleased Callista to see the Iron Order forced to meet her low-born soldiers on an even footing. Nevertheless, Ledros was right. The end had come. She prayed that she had bought Jendakaya, Tyrus, and the Seeker Adept's wards enough time to escape.
See, I told you I heard something.
A pair of knights stalked through the sundered doorframe, weapons in hand. They were massive figures, each easily a head taller than Rise and perhaps twice his weight, and clad in heavy armor. Neither wore a helmet, and they grinned through thick beards as they advanced.
Get behind me, Rise. Protect the children.
Rise made no move to do as his master bade, and when one of the knights lunged forward, sword stabbing, he thrust out a hand with a shout, swiftly forming a runic shape.
No!
Violet runes pulsed beneath Rise's flesh, and a glowing column of energy appeared around the knight, enclosing him within. The warrior's sword ricocheted off the barrier with a bright burst of purple-blue light, and tiny runes flickered at the point of impact before fading. It was the first time Rise had managed to cast a runic prison, so he was almost as surprised as Tyrus, who turned and looked at him in wonder. Rise grinned and gave him a shrug.
Sorcery!
He tried to shoulder his way through the runic barrier, but again there was a burst of energy and he was forced back, his armor scorched and smoking. The second Camavorin roared and swung at Rise with his heavy sword. He dodged, then swayed to the side as the return stroke came at his neck.
Close your eyes, children.
Rise knew what was coming and shut his eyes as well. The Camavorins, not understanding Tyrus's speech, did not. A blinding white light flashed, and the knight attacking Rise staggered backward, clearly blinded.
Move!
Shouted Tyrus, urging everyone out through the back door. Scooping up little Tolu, he led the way out onto the street. Rise was last to leave. He was just wondering how long his runic prison would last when it flickered and failed. The knight snarled and launched himself forward, but Rise upended a small table into him, giving him enough time to run. It was closing in on sunset outside, the sky lit with brilliant hues, painting the streets in vivid red. It should have been beautiful, but tonight it seemed full of foreboding and menace.
Run!
Grail strode onward, lantern held aloft, leading the Camavorin king and a score of dismounted knights through the darkness beneath Scholar's Square. The way was narrow and twisting, and he was almost disappointed that they had encountered no resistance thus far. Two of the knights bore the dead queen. Grail knew there was no returning her to life, not how the fool wanted, but it suited him for the king to believe otherwise. With these warriors at his side, no one could stop him from reaching the Well of Ages. Of course, he knew the masters would try, however, and he relished the thought of the bloodshed that would follow.
How much farther?
Demanded the Camavorin king directly behind him.
Not far,
Grail said, not bothering to turn to look at him.
I dislike being down here, scuttling like vermin.
Grail bit back his retort. It would not do to antagonize the arrogant king. He needed him, at least for now.
A necessary discomfort, Lord King.
They rounded a corner and came upon what seemed to be a dead end. The stone wall before them was carved with geometric symbols, but it appeared solid.
What is this? You have been this way before, haven't you?
I have not. Only the masters are allowed to use this route.
Then why did you bring us this way, you fool?
Now Grail did turn to look at the king, and while his gaze was cold and blank, inside he was raging. Oh, how he wished he had this one chained in the depths so he could take him apart, piece by piece. His screams would be delectable. The warden forced a smile.
I know all the hidden ways beneath Helia, even if I have not walked them. And I do not need to be a master to access the way. Fear not, my king. This is the door we seek.
He turned and traced a finger along one of the lines carved into the wall, studying the patterns. The line intersected with another, then several more, but at last he found what he was searching for. Where four lines met, he tapped the stone and a small aperture slid open.
Be ready,
he said over his shoulder.
It is likely this way will be guarded.
He pushed the master's keystone into place and the wall opened silently. Fresh air rushed in, along with the distant sounds of battle. A narrow set of stone steps was revealed, rising to ground level. With a grind of hidden mechanisms, the heavy wrought iron gate atop the stairway swung open, prompting shouts of alarm. Grail grinned. White-armored custodians appeared at the top of the stairs, halberds at the ready. Grail's grin widened. Too long had the custodians made him feel powerless and weak. Now they would be slaughtered.
They seek to deny you. They want to keep the secrets of the waters to themselves. They could save your queen, but out of spite and jealousy they choose not to. They laugh at your misfortune.
And they will suffer for it,
vowed the king, summoning his blade. Grail stepped back and swept his arm forward.
After you.
Viego stared up the stairs, his red-rimmed eyes full of pain and anger, then glanced back at the knights clustering in the tunnel behind him.
Clear the way!
The knights edged past their king and began to climb, single file. They lifted their shields high, wary of their enemy's long pole arms. As they came into range, the custodians thrust at them, but most of their strikes crashed against shields. A few got past, and the hooks behind the halberd's axe blades were used to good effect, dragging a shield down and yanking the knight off balance. The first few knights were swiftly slain, but then the Iron Order were pushing up into the defenders, and custodians began to die. They made the top of the stairs, clambering over the fallen. Viego and Grail followed, along with the knights bearing Isolde. A custodian on the ground, blood spitting from his lips, grasped at Grail's leg as he passed.
Help me, brother!
Grail held his curved sickle before the dying man, savoring his confusion and fear.
This is what you deserve. You and all the others.
The man tried to fend him off, but he could do nothing as Grail slowly ended him. When he was done, Grail looked up to see that the knights had pushed the custodians back enough to gain a foothold above. With the way clear, Viego surged up the stairs and stepped out onto the square. Grail hurried up behind him. The Camavorden king strode into the fight, shoving several knights out of his way. A few of the surviving custodians turned on him, lunging with their halberds. Grail hissed, expecting the arrogant young monarch to be skewered, but Viego simply let out a sharp bark in a strange language, making a chopping motion with one hand. An invisible force smashed into the custodians, deflecting their weapons as they speared toward him. Grail startled in shock. He had not known the Mad King had such power, and realized he would have to proceed with great caution. No longer in the confines of the stairway, Viego now had room to swing his immense blade. Dropping to one knee, he slashed it through one of his attackers before sidestepping neatly, ripping his sword free as he spun and slaying his second attacker with a savage blow. Grail watched in fascination as the two custodians wasted away from the inside, as if all life had been sucked out of them. In seconds, they were nothing more than dried husks. The last remaining custodians backed away, their eyes wide with fear. The Iron Order surged forward, hacking and stabbing. The guardians were quickly surrounded and slain, and through the mayhem, Viego strode across the square. The Camavordan infantry still held the Enlightenment Arch, battling hard against the Iron Order, but he ignored them. His gaze was locked on the great golden doors of the Scintillant Tower.
"It will be barred from the inside,"
said Grail, stalking at Viego's side.
"We might need to—"
With a wordless roar, Viego thrust an outstretched hand toward the doors. They crumpled inward as if struck by a battering ram, ripping out great hunks of masonry, and the heavy bar holding them shut snapped like a twig. The doors smashed to the floor inside the tower with a resounding crash, revealing a handful of startled masters and custodians blinking in shock. The king surged through the sundered doorway, his terrible sword singing mournfully as it sliced through the air. Three custodians and a master were cut down, their flesh withering before they even hit the ground. The others fled. Viego turned back toward his knights, his eyes lit with baleful light.
"You two, bring the queen. The rest of you, go kill the traitors."
The knights seemed more than happy to depart. They saluted sharply and ran toward the fight beneath the arch, approaching the foot soldiers in the rear of their formation. The pair bearing the queen traded uneasy glances, but did as he commanded, following the king inside the tower.
"Lead the way, Warden."
The end was near, but Callista was determined to resist the Iron Order until her last breath. At her side, Ledros roared like a wounded bear, killing every knight that came within reach. His sword hacked through mail and flesh alike, and pommel strikes and backhanded blows with the rim of his great shield crushed plate and bones. Gaping rents had been gouged in his plate armor and the chain underneath, and he was bleeding from sword thrusts and axe strikes, but he did not falter. He killed and killed and killed, an unstoppable behemoth of war, even as his own lifeblood flowed. A sword stabbed through a crack in his armor, lodging between two ribs. With a bellow, Ledros spun and rammed his elbow into the swordsman's face, then rammed his blade through him. Ledros kicked him forcefully in the breastplate, freeing his blade and bringing down two other knights behind him. Callista danced forward, killing both knights with swift spear thrusts. Another knight swung at her, and she took the blow on the haft of her spear before dropping to one knee and sweeping the warrior's legs. He clattered to the ground with a curse, then fell silent as Ledros's blade hacked him almost in two. Where Ledros fought with brute force, Callista fought with speed, precision, and perfect form. The other soldiers of the host had bronze shields, but her defense was more than capable without one. She wielded her spear with exquisite skill, deflecting and turning aside everything that came at her. She caught an overhead sword stroke with her spear, then slammed its steel butt into the side of her attacker's helm. As he staggered, she stepped lightly forward and struck again, the butt of her spear driving into his throat, crushing his windpipe. A spiked mace swung at her, and she deftly turned her spear around it, pulling the weapon wide of its mark and the knight wielding it off balance. She slashed the blade of her spear across the back of the knight's knee as he stumbled, then finished him with a precise strike that slid through the vision slit of his full face helm. Her soldiers fought bravely, standing toe to toe with their more armored, high-born enemies, doing their general proud. Their spears gave them significantly farther reach, and Callista had trained them well. More knights fell before the ruthless, disciplined spear thrusts of the host, and yet the Iron Order had numbers on their side. There were less than a score of soldiers of the host remaining, and each who fell left a gap in their formation, yet there were always more knights pushing forward, blades hungry for blood. The host had lost ground as well, pushed back step by bloody step until they were in the open square behind the archway. The knights could now use their greater numbers more effectively and began to surround them. There was a shout from the rear, and Callista cursed as she saw knights running across the open courtyard behind her soldiers.
Rear rank! About face!
She bellowed, even as she slew another knight. She almost lost her grip on her spear as the knights behind him surged forward with renewed vigor, determined to finally end the host's resistance. Risking another glance behind her, she saw Viego striding toward the scintillant tower.
Ancestors! We have to stop him!
You go!
Growled Ledros, dispatching yet another of the Iron Order with a devastating blow.
We will hold them here!
Before Callista could even consider that, a figure loomed before her.
Hecarim.